listeners, welcome back to the occasional and infrequent Cinematory podcast. I am Rob. Sitting to my left is Chris Wilson. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, thanks, yep.
Sitting to my right, Dave Walker. How are you?
Hey, I'm all right. I've got myself a rum and coke and some McDonald's and I'm lovely.
Feeling there good. We go. He's got the hams on board. How are you, Chris?
I've got a... What is this? A Coke Zero.
Yep.
And a bottle of water.
Ever the professional.
I know.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I've got the squeaky chair this week, I think.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not on the squeaky chair this week, which is quite good because... Oh, yeah.
I'm on one that leans back, so if you suddenly can't hear anything...
Whoa! We've lost Wilson. Very good. Right, so it's my turn in the chair this week.
What have you done?
I've done one of the films that I really, really, really wanted to do when we first started this podcast.
Yeah.
When I first came up with the idea for this podcast. The masterpiece that is Jason X, mate.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're most welcome.
Yeah.
You're most welcome.
Yeah.
So, just quickly for the uninitiated, Jason X is the 10th installment of the Friday the 13th franchise.
Oh, I thought it'd be like the 9th, but they skipped from 8 to X.
Yeah, no.
Phone joke.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
So, yeah. Jason in space, mate.
Jason in space,
That's what we're up against here.
And the X makes it cool as fuck.
Yeah, it makes it 2001 as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah. So, what's happening here? Quick rundown.
Yeah.
Is that Jason, sometime, has been captured.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried killing him by various means, hanging, electrocution, shooting, none of them doing, nothing happening. Mm-hmm. So, the scientists in the sort of not-too-distant future decide the only way to deal with the issue is to freeze him, mate.
Mm-hmm.
So, they set up the freezing, and then some army blokes come and say, whoa, he's too valuable.
Can't freeze that boy. No.
So, some shit happens, and then we end up in the future, mate, where he gets thawed out. That is the very, very quick way of describing the premise of Jason X.
I mean, that's it, mate. I mean, you can really... If you tried, you couldn't flesh it out.
No. I mean, this is one of our old sort of uni favourites.
Absolutely.
So, initial thoughts on Jason X.
What was the motivation behind your choice first?
What's the motivation behind my choice? My motivation this time behind my choice.
You started this entire fucking podcast just so you could talk about this film.
Yeah, basically, that's it.
After this week, you're done.
That's it, mate. I'm out. I'm done. The reason for my choice here was because I wanted to go with something this time around that was just pure, mindless popcorn entertainment of a quite shit nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it ticks all the boxes, but I mean, what do you guys reckon? It's been a while. Has it been a while since you've seen it? Or?
It has been a while, yeah.
How's it holding up?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I got it off, the first time I saw it was when I had something called Front Row, which was like...
Is that NTL?
The NTL version of Sky Movies.
Oh, that takes me back.
Yeah. With you put your fucking PIN number in and stuff. And every time I watched a movie on there, Mum would make me tape it.
Right.
So I've got it on a VHS somewhere. But I saw the trailer for it just kind of looping away in the background. But probably a bit of tit in that. Mum probably thinks it's just a big silly movie. But I'm 9 or whatever I am in that time frame. And I'm like, I fancy seeing a bit of tit. So I saw it and loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. I'm still a big fan of it, to be honest.
What about you, Chris Wilson?
I've only seen it for once. Only a couple of years ago, mind you, so not that too far back, and really enjoyed it. There's a particular death near the end that we'll talk about. I just absolutely sawed it off it.
I mean, there is a few of them in this film. It's worth noting, that especially for you, Dave, as an enthusiast of interesting death sequences.
Novelty kills,
novelty absolutely. Kills. You've got quite a lot to go on here,
mm-hmm.
So that's good. I mean, what I will say is... I watched the I've got into the habit of watching the trailers for these films before I watch the film of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever have a chance to watch this trailer, mate, it's well worth a YouTube. It's basically potted highlights of shit blowing up, set to the theme of drowning pool bodies.
Brilliant. Already I'm back in 2001.
Exactly, yeah. It's of its time, for
you
sure.
You watch the trailer, you blink and you're accidentally on a skateboard going down a hill.
Listening to some 41.
Yeah.
Exactly that.
Oh, take me back.
You know. Yeah.
So, yeah, shall I just dive into it?
Yeah, we're going to do what we normally do. We're going to go through it in order and then...
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys with your notes and me with my...
Brain.
My brain.
Brains. Inception. Okay, so right. We'll start from the beginning then. Mm-hmm. Why not? So
Fit scientist alert.
We're not quite there yet, Dave. We're not quite there yet. We've got the opening credit sequence inside Jason's brain. Slash hell.
Oh, yeah. The most 90s thing you can ever see.
Exactly. The naff early 2000s CGI, which sets off to a flying start.
Yeah.
Thoughts on the opening sequence there, Wilson?
Again, it just takes you back to 2001. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, just for the CGI. For some reason, it reminded me of End of Days, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Alien Resurrection.
Exactly. Nice little thing to note early on is that Harry Manfredi is back doing the score. Dave, from the original Friday the 13th.
Yep, really like him.
Couple of nice bits of score stuff later on, which we can discuss. So it's kind of got that little bit of reference.
Did I also notice that, because it basically starts in hell, but it looks like anatomy and gene structure, and then you realise you're actually inside his body, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, the last time we saw Jason, he did go to hell.
Yes, Jason goes to hell.
So I guess that's quite a nice little way of reminding us of where he was originally.
So you're telling me Freddy versus Jason disregards Jason X?
I'm afraid it doesn't.
Fucking shocking. Like little,
it doesn't really reference anything. It's just like, here's Freddy, here's Jason, get your popcorn.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah. I like both them films. Go on.
So we open up with the sort of flashback sequence in our little laboratory type area where they're going to setting up Jason up to be frozen. Nothing can go wrong in this situation,
absolutely,
obviously.
So
up until we get our military wankers, another staple of the genre.
Absolutely.
They turn up, led by David Cronenberg.
What are you doing here?
I'm taking the specimen.
Well, you can't. I haven't prepped the cryostasis chamber.
I don't want him frozen, Rowan. I want him soft.
We've already discussed this.
Yeah, well, I had to go over your head. I'm moving him to our Scranton facility.
Dr. Wimmer, you can't risk transporting him through open country.
This isn't open for discussion. His unique ability to regenerate lost and damaged tissue, I mean, it cries out for more research.
And you're willing to risk the deaths of innocent civilians if he escapes?
Yes. But I'm sure Sergeant Marcus and his men can handle the transfer just fine. Sergeant?
Everything's under control, man.
That's where I recognised him from.
Yeah, random as fuck.
Yeah. David Cronenberg is here. There is a reason for David Cronenberg being here.
Oh?
The director, a chap called Jim Isaacs, who's sadly now no longer with us, he was, at the time, a bit of a protege of David Cronenberg's, and his background is in visual effects. He did a lot of visual effects work on some of David Cronenberg's films, so that's kind of the context as to why Cronenberg's there.
Okay, yeah, cool.
And then shit goes a little bit south quite quickly, Dave.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. They're trying to move him to that. No, because they do that cool thing with the thing where they put the thing over the top of him.
Oh, the thing. Yes.
So the thing.
The security guard guy. Look at him.
Yeah.
So he puts his little trench coat over him, whatever it is.
And we all saw that coming.
Yeah.
Pulls the trench coat away and dickhead! It's the security guard. Jason's on the loose.
Can we get that rag off him? What the hell?
Yeah. And Lexa Doig, we're introduced to our lead here, star of Andromeda back in the day.
There's one of two Andromeda people in this.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, about say. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Bit of an Andromeda presence.
Yeah.
She's a bit pissed off.
Yeah.
She saw this coming.
Yeah.
So chaos ensues. Dave, take us through the chaos.
I think a bunch of military guys get all hacked up, and it's real good because this is like when this is what they do in Freddy vs. Jason. The new Jason is just an absolute fucking unit. Like, they put people on levers and pulleys and throw them around the set and stuff as people flying through doors. And just, like, there's just always a sharp object to hand.
Yeah.
And it just looks real crude. Like, bit of a door. There you go. Lopping arms and legs off. And eventually she gets him down into the cryogenic chamber, I think, and traps him in there. Then he stabs her through the door, which is fucking savage.
Yeah. She basically, like, walks up to the window, like, seeing him being frozen, thought, okay, that's all solved now. Stab right through the door. So, and as a result, it freezes, like, the entire
room.
Entire room.
So she traps poor Alexa Doig as well.
Oh, no, yeah.
Disaster.
Beautifully preserved in time.
Yeah. So then we leap about 200 years into the future.
Absolutely.
When what can only be described as a group of dickhead students
yep.
tip up and come across.
Just told you one there, mate.
All right, hold on.
I'm just going to move this Doritos from behind your chair.
Okay, mate, you move your Doritos, mate.
Because it's rustling every time you move.
Is it? Oh, thank you so much. So at that point, our dickhead students find the lovely Lexa and the less lovely Jason.
and Chris, oh, it's lovely, Verley.
He's a lovely chap. And Chris Wilson, what occurs at this juncture?
I thought you were going to say Chris Wilson walks in, like, what?
Hello. Yeah, they... basically after a bit of exposition about basically stating it's the future, so hockey was outlawed in 2024.
What the hell is that?
Humanoid. Organic composition is unclear.
Can someone tell me what's on his face?
Some kind of 20th century carbon filtration unit.
It's a hockey mask. Very good, Senoron.
What's a hockey mask?
Facial armor. Used in a sport outlawed in 2024.
Amazing.
Okay, we get it. They take the freezer geezer and Rowan and they put them on the ship and launch into space. And of course, on the way out, we find out Earth is a wasteland again. Ha 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 ha, etc. Yeah, so. So we're back on the ship and we get introduced to the crew quite quickly. So we're like introduced like 10 guys at once.
And then they introduce them all by their gimmick straight away.
So I've got noted down here, so I can make out cowboy hat guy, android lady, black guy, another black guy, armless stoner, and James Van Der Beek, or the fake version anyway.
The stoner, I'll just rewind slightly to the previous scene where I found Jason, who basically picks up a frozen coffee cup, gets it stuck to his hand, and he's... flapping about, fuck's sake, stuck to my hand, what do I do? Then he bumps into Jason, frozen Jason, who falls over machete first, takes his arm clean off me.
Which says that machete is sharp as shit.
It's absolutely bloody well is sharp, So, as you can probably establish, we're going at quite a pace here.
We've covered very fast.
We've covered about 300 years, and we've introduced, a set of troops, our lead actress... a couple of dodgy scientists who have all been killed off, and we've introduced our main sort of group of students, their leader and lecturer, the operators of the ship, and some other troops in 15 minutes.
And horny couple. They are introduced as horny couple. So you've met like 45 people at this point.
Yeah, and like 13 of them are already dead.
And you've got all your backstory. You know where you are, you know what year it is, and you know hockey's finished.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
It's bang for your buck, isn't
it? Absolutely, yeah. The first three Pirates of the Caribbean films took about 23 hours to get from A to B. And this is just like, nah, ain't got time, here's drowning pool.
So they pop Lexa Doig and Jason onto the ship. They thaw out Lexa, she's okay, she's in...
Oh, and them cool little nanites.
Yeah, the cool little mini, tiny little ant-type things that heal all wounds.
Yeah.
Heal up her wounds and put the guy's arm back on.
Yeah.
Jason's taken to another room.
Just to kind of sit there and defrost like a sad...
With an older female student who's carrying out a sort of future post-mortem on Jason.
Mm-hmm. Who has 10 points for midriff, by the way.
Yeah, that's it. Can we just talk about the type of clothes that we're wearing
We can absolutely talk about that.
It's
the reason I got that film in the first place.
The tick count's quite high.
It is. But like in the future, like... major surgery going on. And at the moment, I'm watching Angel... your TV series, based around 2000-2001 time, and everyone on this ship looks like the LA clubbing scenes. They look like extras from that.
It's
very MTV. Again, I'm getting quite nostalgic.
There's just something great about it, isn't it? Like, if you had a pop star picture on your wall in 2001, granted, they would guarantee to be wearing one of these costumes.
It's
brilliant.
It's so of... people in the sort of late 20s, early 30s, as we are, it's so of our sort of teenage years. I'd quite like to show it to someone a bit younger and see what they think now.
Why is she wearing a crop top turtleneck?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
With
no
sleeves.
Yeah.
So, why does she look like she's about to go see Crazy Town? Wait, who are Crazy Town?
Why am I here?
Where am I?
Who
am I?
She's possessed again.
What's going on? What's a Fred Durst?
What's a Fred Durst?
I think my grandma's done that at some point to my granddad.
So, crop top cardigan lady.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic.
Carries out a sort of post-mortem on Jason.
Sort of. She kind of just rips his eye out and then goes back to doing whatever the fuck she was doing. He just sits there defrosting like a bad Iceland meal.
Yeah, like a very bad Iceland meal. I think maybe you should take us through this one, Dave. The post-mortem with Jason and what sort of occurs here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on in this. It jumps all over the place. There's Jason slowly thawing out on a slab after she's taken his eye out to do something with. Lexa Doig's come back. There's people having sex. There's people talking in the cockpit. It's going all over the place, but you know something's happening because the pace has picked up even more.
Yeah, and the dodgy professor guy is telling Lexa Doig, look, I swear to God, everything's gravy. He's dead. He's completely dead.
But he's also going to, I don't know, his boss and saying, oh, this Jason, he might be worth a lot.
The money angle.
Which is very alien.
Yes.
But best keep him preserved. We can make a lot of money from him.
So he's slowly defrosting. Lexa Doig is basically saying, no, he's probably not dead. That is cryogenic stasis. When you open that door, things come back to life. Oh, no, he's absolutely dead. He's fine. He's totally secure on a table with someone with a back turned to him. And at which point, lots of gunk starts coming out of him. And he does the whole Michael Myers sit-up thing, which is fantastic.
Mm.
And it's one of my favourite little sequences, actually. She turns around several times, and he's there. Turns around for the third time, and he's gone.
And there's one little bit in this sequence that I really like, and I think it's either the first or second time she turns around. The reason she turns around is a bit of ice falls off his hand onto the metal table. It makes that little clink.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice little touch there. Lovely really stuff, nice little touch.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she turns around once, twice, three times, and he's gone, Dave. What happened? What happens next, Dave?
Well, I'm glad you're giving me this, because it's my favourite kill of the entire series. So, classic, there's a guy in the room next door, with soundproof glass, can't hear a thing. And Jason basically takes it for a merry old lab tour, going around all the nice little, see what's this, what's that, everything getting broken. A little bit of a tip peek, obviously.
Yep.
You can see him really awkwardly trying to, trying to lift heads off. Not sure whether it's working or not.
It's not quite is it?
No, no, no. But, you know, the intention's there. Bless Kane Hodder. And then there's just an exposed open-air sink full of liquid nitrogen. And there's a face dunk, and then you see the face get frozen. And then that's not enough for him. So he just smashes her head in on the side. And my favourite bit about that is after the freeze, after the smash, he's clearly got, like, a mannequin in his arms.
100% mannequin.
He just fucking lobs it.
Yeah, he chokes it to the floor. Like the kind of thing I do when someone puts barbecue sauce on a burger. And
yeah, just, just a burger.
Get it straight out of there, It's a weight.
So, beautiful sequence. Well,
in context of the film, in context of the series,
it is. Yeah, and then so after that, we have Rowan talks to the professor about how Jason can't be killed. It's a bit blah 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 blah. In all fairness, like professor's obviously not going to tell her, oh, we want to keep him preserved. But the scene's a bit boring, so let's instead talk about all like the many other scenes with the 16 other characters, where it all is a bit nipple obsessed.
Yes.
You've got the android whose nipples have fallen off, and then you've got threats of nipple clamps and everything else.
There's a lot of nipples.
It's pretty nipple heavy this 10 minutes,
Android also from Andromeda, by the way.
I thought I recognised her.
It's a shit sci-fi bonanza. Where's Kevin Sorbo?
Well, a good friend of mine, Chris Chambers, who does actually listen to the podcast, so shout out to Chris Chambers.
Chris Chambers! Bloody hell, someone listens.
Yeah, it's him and your mum. And we had a discussion. We had a discussion about podcast the other week, and he's he likes his boobs, as Chris. And he said, if you ever need a boob correspondent, let me know. Yeah. Well, Chris, Jason X is a film for you, mate. If if you want to get on that, you crack right on.
Yeah, yeah.
This is prime Chris Chambers territory. Yeah.
And at some point, we will. We now cut to Chris Chambers live at View Cinema, where he's just seen a bit of tit.
Exactly.
Of
action. Yeah. He's very excited.
How are you doing, Chris?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
I give it 3 boobs out of 5. So yeah, that happens. I just want to quickly mention at this stage, just to get away from boobs for 1 minute.
Yeah, please do.
There's a nice little sequence of Jason walking around the spaceship, which I think is played really nicely, mm-hmm. because he's sort of wandering around thinking, the fuck is going on here? There's no trees here. What's happening?
There's no lake.
There's no campers. What's going on? And I just think the sight of Jason, sort of all bedraggled, mm-hmm. his hockey mask on, sort of juxtaposed against this very clean, clinical sci-fi ship, is quite a hilarious sort of clash of
cultures. It's a weird fish out of water moment, isn't it? Like the satisfaction of Crocodile Dundee in a big city. It's Jason stomping around on a pristine starship, just like, eh? Yeah, it's what Jason Takes Manhattan should have been. Like all those novel moments where he should have tried to hail a cab or get on the subway.
Yeah.
Is now kind of, this is the perfect brand of humour that you can do with him when it's a fish out of water.
I'm glad you've mentioned Jason Takes Manhattan, actually.
I'm sorry.
Cause another thing that this film does versus Jason Takes Manhattan is that film doesn't take place in Manhattan, mate.
No.
It's on a boat all the time. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, you know, you get the sort of preamble out the way. Mm-hmm. He's in space, he's on a spaceship, he's in the future. You know, does what it says on the tin, it does.
But it doesn't put it in the title either. So it just exceeds expectations at all times.
Yeah, but to be fair, Jason Takes Manhattan is better than Jason Takes Boat.
Yeah, well, true, yeah.
Jason Takes a Boat Trip. It's a black and white cartoon.
Jason's Love Cruise.
Yeah,
there's something in that, mate, I'm telling you. Yeah. I'm sure New Line Cinema are listening.
So Jason starts killing off all the crew.
Absolutely.
And then there's the bit of the holodeck.
Oh no, we're racing ahead now, mate.
Are we?
We've got the male member of the next person to get is the male member of the shagging couple.
Yes.
Who they do their thing, mm-hmm. and he pushes the button to open the door. Jason's there, machete straight through, turns nice him round. Pulls it through backwards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was too distracted by the nipples.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. It's okay. It's easily done at this point, mate. It's easily done. So, yeah, at this point, the...
They then know that Jason's out because he leaves the girl to run off, didn't he?
I think. Exactly, yeah. And she arrives back with the group just at the same moment as they all go and find your mate, who's now headless and faceless. Lexa Doig's feeling pretty smug at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Did tell you, though.
Yeah, she did. She did tell him. And the lecturer guy is feeling like a bit of a dick, mate, at this point, I think.
So enter the soldiers from the Resident Evil film.
Yes, mate.
Pretty sure it's the same guy.
Same costume.
Same costume, same guy, yeah. We know who a couple of them are.
Run us through it, Dave.
There's an angry ex-military black guy.
Yes.
There's rookie kid.
Yes.
There's obvious Hispanic lesbian.
Yes.
And then there's like five more. Yeah. I'm out.
Yeah. A couple of overly cocky guys.
Yeah.
A couple of overly cocky girls. And that's kind of the setup there. Mm-hmm. And then we whiz on down to another one of soldiers, the bald chap.
Yep.
And the stone kid who lost his arm.
Oh yeah, stone kid.
15 minutes ago, and they're having a shoot 'em up in a virtual reality.
Oh, yeah. So because this is the future, Willie.
Yeah, because this is the future.
So basically, you take PlayStation graphics and you just make them VR.
Yeah,
that's the future.
Yeah. And they're shooting giant alien monsters.
Yes.
That are comprised of some really bad CGI.
Yeah, but it's really a video game, CGI. Rob.
Yeah, it is. True.
It is, yeah.
True.
It's supposed to look shit.
Yeah. And so there's a nice little sequence where this big-ass monster creeps up behind them, they turn the guns on it, and then all of a sudden it gets macheted in half from behind.
Nasty.
By Jason. Mm-hmm. And then they thought, who the fuck's this guy? We're in a monster simi, what's going on? Mm-hmm. So they try and stop the play. And the Jason play does not stop, mate, does it?
No, mate, it doesn't, no. Yeah. And it was revealed that they're watching the VR, sat on the floor, and then they have a shout at him. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he just fucks him up, doesn't he?
Really. He does fuck him up, yeah.
Does he cut one in half?
He cuts... no, he doesn't. He snaps one.
Yep,
he snaps the stoner kid. and he's done. And the bald soldier guy gets his head slammed against the wall.
So what do you say next kill wins?
Lock and load, killer.
What the hell?
I thought this was an alien sim.
Yeah, it is. Pause play. I said pause play.
He's not pausing.
Yeah, no kidding. I think we need to reboot. Ah! That does not count as a kill.
Yes, it does.
Okay, screw this. Game over.
What the hell?
Hey, drop the kid. Drop the kid now. Angel, get out of here.
I got him.
So at this point, does he? The soldiers go down to what they call the basement, and then he's down in the basement, and then we get like a little nice little cat and mouse thing. Is that right?
Yep, we do. Yeah,
yeah.
He starts taking them out one by one, yep. And.
The world's most overconfident troops, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I'm about to say, they're cocky as shit, but Jason brings them down to size right away.
Literally.
Half-size, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. Highly collapsible.
We get some really cool kills here, including, I believe, is it your favourite kill as well?
Yes. Yeah, it is. Yep. It is. Would you like to take the wheel? Dave's had his kill. I think this is your turn to shine, Willie.
My kill's later on, in all fairness.
Is it really? It okay, is, well, yeah. In that case, I will take the wheel. So... there's a sort of balcony area in this VR type zone that they're fighting in, and one of the soldiers encounters Jason in this balcony, and he tries to do a bit of hand-to-hand combat with Jason Voorhees, which doesn't go too well.
Like fighting a garden shed.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So he has a little go, and then he gets shoved off, and he lands on what can only be described as a giant fucking corkscrew. And he slowly winds down the corkscrew. And then the Hispanic lady you referred to a moment ago finds him.
Yep.
And the major or the chief, the black guy who's the one in charge, is radioing saying, "Where the fuck is this dude?" And she goes onto the radio, panic in her voice, and says, "He's screwed." Which is, I think, the first instance of a few more instances of this film of some beautiful follow-up dialogue to kills.
Corking one-liners.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Oh, was that a corking one-liner of your own there, Dave? Good God. We move quickly through a few of the troops. And then
very quickly.
Yeah, and then one of them gives Jason a good old blasting with a machine gun, and Jason impales himself on what looks to me...
Like a giant anchor?
Like a giant anchor, yeah. And he gets on the radio, turns around, he's all cocky as shit. You know, I've nailed him. Don't you worry, guys. Take your time.
Yeah, don't turn your back on him.
Don't worry about it. He's fucked, mate.
Don't turn your back on him now. Yeah.
What do you reckon happens next, Wilson?
Turns your back on him.
You did.
He's dead. He's all fucked up. So yeah, he gets cut straight in half, mate.
It's beautiful. Then he crawls along the floor, doesn't he?
Crawls along the floor and just says, "Get out. I fucked it. I'm sorry."
Yeah.
You know when I said I'd killed him? I lied.
One thing I did notice at this point, I didn't really get the punchline at this point, but why they had like students in outer space. And I just quite liked the idea of just taking the old concept of... basically, it's always been about, you know, teenagers getting killed.
Yeah.
In like the Friday the 13th films. I'm like, I've somehow... found a way to get them out of space, although would you dare use the C word for getting them up there?
Well, I mean, it's fair to say, and I think at this point we're sort of coming up to the halfway point in the film, and I think we can sort of assess that the entire premise up to this point is a little bit contrived.
Sorry, listeners.
Sorry, Mum.
And yeah, like you say, the contrivance does reach a bit of a peak with the students who are a sort of direct... update copy and paste of camp counselors to the extent where some of them are slightly more senior than the others, and they've got the they're supervised by knobheads, and it's you know it's very much a take the the camp counselors into a different setting.
Stuff that bastard in space, yeah.
Camp in outer space. So we after Jason's finished with the troops, seemingly. Watch out for this, listener. Spoiler alert. Seemingly killing the black leader of the troops.
Yeah.
Seemingly. Yeah. He decides to pop off and see the driver of the ship.
As you would, you want to know where you're going, don't you?
Yeah, our mate in the cowboy hat.
Yes.
So he's up there on his own, isn't he?
Yep.
And Jason's loose on the ship.
Not entirely sure why there's a film every now and again, like, doesn't happen too frequently, but it's such a niche thing.
Yeah.
There's always a guy piloting a spaceship with a cowboy hat on.
Yeah, on his own.
Yep.
And he's...
cowboy hat, don't know why.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's not a Doctor Strange little thing, is it? You know, the end sequence there, he's riding on the H-bomb with the cowboy hat. Is it because of that?
I'm guessing it's either that or it's a thing like, oh, well, they're truckers in space.
Yeah, I'm could be a Dark like Star trucker. Thing.
Could yeah, be oh, yeah, good. Could be, yeah.
But, yeah, so basically the remaining members of the crew and the captain of the driver of the ship have hailed a nearby, I don't know what you'd call it, spaceport, I guess.
Yeah, space station. Yeah,
like a little you know, sort of city in space.
Yeah.
And they say, look, bring us some more soldiers. We're coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a problem. We'll set our course now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then literally 2 seconds after the driver sets the course, he's not going to be in Jason X1, put it that way.
No, sadly not.
Yeah. He's served his purpose here and has been tagged out.
Yes.
He's seen his last rodeo.
He most certainly has.
Oh!
So, yeah, he's gone, which leaves the ship cruising straight towards this sort of city in space.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I have to say, for context, the Friday 13 films in general are marketed on the body count. In the films. Even if you go back to the first couple, the trailers for them are basically one, someone dies, two, someone dies, three, up to 13, and it's Friday the 13th, part 7. at this point, I think you've got to give it to Jason on the body count front here, because he's basically killed the captain of the ship and caused the ship to drive into this city.
Mm. Yep. And we know smash there's a team of 40 security guards waiting at the other end.
Minimum, yeah.
So one security guard for every 10 people.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Yeah, I think there's a good few thousand people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. Yeah, Jason's done himself there.
Yeah. So they sort of crash through what looks to be like the sort of main atmospheric environment dome bit, to which the dickhead lecturer goes, "So, all right, we've just overshot it, we'll turn back around," and the old bastard thing blows up, mate. So I think at this point, we can set a new record for body count in the Friday 13 series, so comfortably.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you've done it.
Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah. So a whole city's just been wiped out by Jason.
Well done.
Which is pretty good going. Mm. That leaves only some of the students, about 3 or 4.
Yep.
Lexa Doig and the dickhead professor.
Mm. Oh, no.
And the android.
And the engineer.
And the android. And the engineer.
So there's like 10 of them left. Though.
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah. So, there's, you know, we've got some legs here. Yeah. But the majority of the cast are now sort of locked in this one room.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's a bang on the door, mate.
Mm. Yes, mate, there's a bang on the door, isn't it?
Yeah. And this...
Looking terrifying, mate.
Yeah, terrifying. It's probably Jason. This little bit is featured on the trailer, actually, where he brays on the door, and then Lexa Doig says, "Shut the fuck up a minute. Let me just have a little listen."
Yeah.
She has a little listen and she says, "I think he's gone." To which the girl who nipple clamped the professor earlier on says, "Why don't you stick your head out and take a peek?"
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit fucking...
A bit harsh.
Yeah, it's not sort of team spirited, is it?
Mm. Not really.
But I do like how Alexa Doig is acting as though, you know, she's one with Jason. She knows her very thoughts, like listening, like, "I think I can hear him," like...
The Jason whisperer.
Probably some like new age music playing in the background, maybe. And suddenly just blasts through the other door, the other end of the room. Well done, Alexa.
Genius.
You had one job.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So Jason breaks into the room and they all fucking peg it. And apart from the professor, who tries to negotiate with Jason.
As you do.
Yeah. So what he does is negotiation is in the scene earlier on when the lady got her face frozen and smashed off.
Yes.
Jason picked up a sort of new age type machete. Nice shiny one.
Yes.
Like
a bone saw, isn't it?
Like a bone saw, yeah. And in the room where they were in this sequence, Jason's original machete is also there.
Mm.
And so the barter system that the dickhead professor uses here is, "Hey, look, I've saved your machete for you, mate. We can be bros now. It's all good. I'll sell you split the profits with you. How does that sound? Everything's great. And he shouts so that everyone else who's quite sensibly pegged it, yeah. It's okay. He just wanted his machete back.
Followed by a beautiful scream.
Followed by a beautiful scream, yeah. And that was the last we saw of him.
Hi. Look, have you considered how valuable you are? Fame, money, with my help, you can have it all. You know, I know people, you know, I mean, I have connections. Together we can make a fortune. Oh, you want your machete back? Shit, it's yours, take it! Just remember who saved it for you. Guys, it's okay, he just wanted his machete back! Woo!
I'm gonna go back to my room. Because Stoney's gonna meet me there.
So there's nice little moments where you can kind of get on Jason's side.
Yeah, he's almost... In some parts of this film, that one in particular, you're kind of rooting for Jason to take these guys out.
Yeah.
There's not many of the good guys, as it were, that you can really latch on to. No. Like, Alexa Doig is okay, but she's never very developed. She's just there. It's like they needed someone... as like the main protagonist to like follow the story with, but you never really have any connection with her.
Every time she pops back up, you're like,
It doesn't help as well that she looks remarkably like one of the other students, like the dark haired one.
Yep.
To the point where she's wearing her clothes.
Oh yeah,
which is referenced earlier on.
Yeah, which is referenced earlier on. So it's like, well, I don't even know which one is which. What's going on?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a very strange sort of combination. At this point, Lexa Doig happens upon Brodsky. I've written his name down.
Brodsky?
Brodsky is the name of the black leader of the troops.
Oh, yeah, I've written that down as well, yeah.
So there he is. So Brodsky's there. He's alive, which is grand.
Mm.
I mean, he's all fucked up, right? He's been impaled twice.
Yeah, he got shanked twice, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Got shanked for real. So the plan now is they want to move him to the Medibay so that the little ants can heal him again.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, this sort of little bit of them trying to get him to the Medibay runs concurrently with the sort of bedraggled engineer bloke stumbling across the remains of the pilot of the ship along with I think it's I forgot the name of the guy. The guy who's got the relationship with the android.
Oh, fake James Van Der Beek.
They're together and they go up there and they find him. And at this point, the engineer utters the immortal words of, "Think this shit's bad? I fought in the Microsoft conflict."
Oh, yeah.
Which is beautiful.
We were beating each other to death with our own severed limbs. Which I thought, ham-fisted. Kind of like, it's like the Walmart Alien Resurrection thing that you...
Or the hockey bullshit at the start.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like ham-fisted nonsense. But, you know, it wouldn't be an episode of this podcast if there wasn't a bit of that in there, would it?
Absolutely not. I just want to know what the Microsoft wars were.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe that could be a spin-off.
Yeah.
Do you think the Microsoft Word paperclip was basically Hitler?
Anyway, oh.
it appears you want to dominate this land. Would you like me to help?
There are 63 places you could bury a body. so that's a strange little thing to say.
It's almost funny, though. It's almost funny.
Yeah, it's almost funny. I mean, it was probably funny in 2001. Yeah. We have a little sequence of Brodsky getting healed up, and then we move on to another little sequence of fake James Van Der Beek tuning up the droid to kick some ass, which involves her wearing leather.
There we go, yeah.
And which he proudly announces, "I've given her an upload."
Yes. Yeah.
Not an upgrade.
Upload.
What you do in your own time is none of our business.
Keep it out of the narrative, guys. Come on. And that leads to...
If the immediate thing that springs to mind when she gets her upload is, do you think this film came out just 2 years after The Matrix? Do you sort of get that impression?
A little bit.
Yeah, she's just a little bit of that in there, and just a touch,
There.
She looks very Carrie Ann Moss when she gets her upload.
How Just a quick point. How fucking sick do the guns look in this film, though?
Yeah.
They're all like shiny chrome. They're all like, every time they shoot them, they're all like mechanically operated. They're all really tactile things.
Mm.
Like really nice physical props that look so good on screen. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so at this point, the droid finds Jason.
Mm.
And I don't want to put too fine a point on it, guys, but she kicks the fuck out of him.
She does, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Hand to hand.
Hand to hand, yeah. Hand to hand, which sort of culminates in... She has this, back to the physical props that you mentioned there, she has this gun that's like got, it's like an Uzi, but it also has like almost a shotgun type type mechanism to it as well.
Yeah.
And she blows a leg off, blows an arm off.
Oh, it's like a plasma gun thing, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Well, yes and no, mate, because there's a little bit involved in this scene that kind of, it's not a plasma gun for this reason, it's got basically big ass bullets in it. She shoots a big fucking hole in him, blows a leg off, blows an arm off. And then he falls onto one of the medibay beds. Something not to overlook.
With most of his head missing.
Yeah. And then she blows his head off. But what happens when she blows his head off is it does the... it sort of... The camera's panning and facing the gun.
Yeah.
And it follows the bullet for a little bit.
And
then turns around and then bang, his head's gone.
Yeah. That's fucking cool.
That didn't go so well.
To a machine and she didn't think, whoops, better just move him along, a few feet.
Airlock? Yeah. Airlock?
Yeah.
Anyone? No.
Has nobody seen an alien film, for fuck's sake? she tags him out on the medibay.
He's all fucked up, mate. We even have a nice little panning shot over the top of his face.
All fucked up, mate, yeah.
Former face.
And for an unprecedented second time in one episode, gonna have to drop the C-bomb.
Anyway.
Sorry, Mum.
It is quite a contrived situation that he finds himself in here on the, sort of tagged out on the resurrection bed.
The only person that actually properly fucking destroyed Jason, and he just happens to fall in the only place where...
Absolutely, mate.
Yeah.
There is one other little thing about this sequence that I would like to pick up on, as promised at the start of the episode. Yes. In this sequence is a really nice, well, naff/nice bit of bit of score work.
Yes.
Where it keeps rising up every time she shoots him.
Yeah.
And it does the whole... Every time it comes up... Which is quite nicely done and very, very... That sort of... That little bit of music's very original Friday the 13th.
It's very
sort of reminiscent of it. It's nice that we get them little references that just remind us from time to time that although we're in fucking space, it's still a Friday the 13th film that we're watching.
It's perfectly played for laughs as well. It kind of, that scene epitomises the whole film in the sense that they've successfully managed to take their formula and make it funny enough to still pass and be an enjoyable film that you can get on board with it. Like, you know, when it's the same way Terminator 2 did it, when it does a little parody of itself.
Yeah.
With the whole the bar scene at the start. And then number 3 completely fucking fails by saying, let's do that again, we're in a gay bar. Why? Because it's just ramping it up, innit?
Sorry, Jonathan Mostow. Regular listener, I'm sure.
But yeah, he manages to do the self-parody very well.
Yeah,
especially absolutely. For fans of the series that know what to look for.
It doesn't take itself seriously at all, which is thankful for the 10th installment of a franchise that has already seen Jason kick a boombox in Manhattan. It's seen Jason resurrected about 3 times. It's seen Jason impersonated. Spoiler alert, won't tell you for which film. You know, there has been... I'm really sorry, guys, but there has been a bit of contrivance over the last 10 films.
No wonder we're tagged explicit on
that. I know. I'm so, so sorry. I'll try and make that the last one of the episode.
Okay, that's fine.
It's got those nice sort of comedic moments.
Yeah. So what happens then?
Well, I mean, he's laid out on the table all dead and shit, isn't he? Mm-hmm. In the resurrection bay that's malfunctioning and sparking.
What's going to happen in there?
Well, what do you think's going to happen next, Wilson?
Willie, what happens next?
He's going to stay dead. End of film.
End of film. So, thank you for joining us on...
Good episode.
Next week, we'll be reviewing Jason Goes to Manhattan. Believe it or not, that's not the end of the film. We get the appearance or the resurrection of Jason into what has always been called in the marketing of the film originally and ever since, Uber Jason.
I would have gone with Mecha Jason myself.
But they went with Uber, they went Germanic with the interpretation.
That's right. He does look very Teutonic, doesn't he?
He's sort of half Jason, half metal now.
He looks like Lord Zedd out of Power Rangers.
Yeah, he's got red eyes, yes. He's got a fucking cool new mask, very 2001 mask.
Very buffed up chrome, isn't it?
Yeah, very buffed up chrome.
All the gains.
All the
gains indeed. I know...
What's the protein in blood?
I know, Wilson, you're not a particular fan of... you've not maybe seen a lot of the films in the Friday the 13th franchise. Dave, you might have seen a few.
Yeah.
I just think it's important. It'd be nice to have a bit of a chat at this stage because it's something that has been passionately discussed by fans of the franchise ever since. What's your take on the Uber Jason?
Well, I've only seen 1 to 6 with you in a DVD box set, and I've seen the remake, and I've seen Jason X a few times, so I'm not the biggest specialist on the series. I like how he gradually, progressively gets more fucking knackered throughout every film. Just like, right, how has he been resurrected? Right, just work that into it until he looks like some kind of... He looks like he's had a fight with a seafood restaurant at one point and lost. Yeah. But in Uber Jason just looks kind of very clean and very cheap.
Yeah.
Mm. Whereas somehow he looked more authentic in a shitty lumberjack shirt.
Yeah.
I like Uber Jason. I think it's quite good. Quite a good look.
Yeah.
But I just think he looks cheap.
As we've already said or made reference to, it's a Power Rangers costume.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I think that's the unfortunate thing. I mean, I don't know as much about Friday the 13th, so I've only seen 3 or 4 of the films. I can't remember which ones. I was a lot younger. I mean, I think in context of this film alone, you have to escalate it. You know, he's just got his ass already handed to by weird Andromeda lady.
Yeah.
So you've got to have something else where he can come back.
Oh, and you've got to up the ante.
Got to up the ante, otherwise the same thing's going to happen again. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
But again, I've not really watched that much of a series, so I'm not that attached to Jason. So I don't mind.
Yeah, I mean... I've seen all the Friday the 13th films a couple of times, and sort of slasher cinema of the 80s is kind of my area. And the reason I asked you guys that is because the nerds, the fans of the franchise, have always been like pretty hard on the Uber Jason as a concept. I'm actually a bit of a defender of it. There's a few reasons why I am, and the main reason is that we're in a situation now where
he's
in space, he's in the future, mate. Like Wilson's just pointed out, he's had his ass handed to him. And also, I'm not being funny, but it does say on the tin, the tagline for this film is evil gets an upgrade. Mm-hmm. And do you know what? Like, it's grand that, you know, like you say, that Jason gets slightly more weathered with each film. Yeah. But the guy has been walking around for 8 films now with a hockey mask on.
It's about time he had a wash.
I just think it's something different, you know. It was a bold thing for them to do. It looks a bit naff now. I don't remember it looking that naff at the time, but we're 16 years down the line now. I see why people think it's naff, but I also think that you can't, you know, they were so boxed into a corner with Jason that it doesn't matter what you do with him anymore because you've already blown him up, sent him to hell, brought him back to life, resurrected him. So really, it doesn't fucking matter in my eyes.
It's just one film that every franchise delve since has ignored. Anyway.
Yeah, and there has always, sort of since about the fifth Friday the 13th film, there's been heavily referenced that Jason is a sort of Frankenstein type creation now, and that sequence is very sort of true to that as well.
Yeah.
So I think it sort of works in the context of the film, really.
I mean, when I say it's cheap enough, I mean physically the materials it's made from.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I actually do like the design.
Yeah.
Even if it is very Lord Zedd.
Yeah, well, like I say, it's just rubber costumes. I like the designs of a lot of the Power Rangers, but it does look like shit.
Yeah,
because they had to make 80 of them a service, haven't you?
Yeah,
absolutely. So at this point, our sort of plucky gang
are
pursued by the Uber Jason after the android gets a head knocked off by him. And we sort of get ourselves into a final sequence of alien resurrection situation.
Yes!
which is, I'm going to go on a limb here and say it's certainly not done any worse than Alien Resurrection.
It fucking hasn't.
So this is right up there. This is top end, Dave, in terms of horror movie kills as well. Do you want to take the wheel on this one?
Yeah, remind me where we are, dude.
So where we are now is our female nipple twister from earlier on.
All right.
The thing with the professor is
in the lowest cut top ever. Yeah. Yeah.
Jason's punched a hole in the hull of the ship.
Yes.
And the
you're with us now.
She's clinging on to a grate,
and the grate that slowly
flies out of her hand and covers the hole.
Yeah,
and what happens next?
She gets tenderized, mate. She gets sucked through that grate.
Yeah, minced. Do you know what she says before she does? As she gets sucked out,
was there a pre one liner?
Hit us with it. Yeah.
This sucks in so many ways.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Oh. Yeah, so,
yeah.
It's a shame that they kind of missed the opportunity for a special effect shot, but that would be so expensive.
Yeah,
she just flies through the air, and then you see little stringy bits of meat hanging off the grate.
Yeah. It's just a bit of Aldi mince, isn't it? Really, just over the grate.
Yeah, a bit of gristle.
But another top end kill.
It's a quality kill, mate.
Yeah, quality kill.
It's top shelf material.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if that's your jam, which I know it is your jam, Dave.
Yeah, this is quality kill.
This is prime territory for you in general. This
prime beef,
prime beef. Yeah, pulverized. So it's the alien resurrection Casper the Friendly Ghost kill all over again, isn't it?
Really? Oh, yeah. And at this point, have we got a call from someone who's coming to help out? Is that right?
Yes, round about this point we get a call from a ship that's picked up with a distress signal and said, "Guys and girls, don't worry your tits, we're 45 minutes away." To which the guys and girls say, "That's lovely, but our hull's bleeding out, mate, and we'll blow up in 30 minutes. Any chance of getting a hammer down?"
Yes.
To which he says, "Nah, mate."
Okay.
And then Lexa Doig goes, "I've got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Hold your course. And what we'll do is, the ship's basically in two sort of long cylindrical type shapes with walking paths between the two at this point. Mm-hmm. So if we blow these fucking paths, sack off the main bit of the ship, Absolutely. We can float along on the other bit till I get here.
It's been the Event Horizon bit off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Genius, everyone says. Let's have a crack at
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So they go to have a crack at it, and it doesn't quite go to plan initially. one of our students gets trapped by Jason, and he's got the grenades, and they've set up every passageway apart from one.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to sacrifice himself and blow himself up with Jason.
Yep, didn't even know his name.
Yeah, which he does.
Rest in peace, that guy.
Rest in peace, that guy. He'll be remembered by nobody.
Whoever he was. Who was he?
Mm.
And so at this point, The explosion, because it wasn't quite set up and timed right, has caused some damage to the bit of the ship that they're wanting to stay on.
Yeah, yeah.
So Brodsky, our Broski the Marine, says, fuck it, I'll do a spacewalk.
Absolutely.
I'll fix it from outside.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's off having a fiddle and doing his spacewalk.
You've got to love a soldier with an engineering background as well.
100%. Absolutely. 100%. At which point Jason mooches towards them.
Yes.
And they're like, shit, we need to slow him down. How can we slow him down? Chris Wilson.
Here we go.
It's the future.
It is the future.
What I will say quickly before you get into this is 100% my shit cliche horror moment of the episode, mate.
Uh-huh.
And Chris Wilson, this is all yours, my friend.
Okay, then. So Jason starts approaching them, and then somehow, not really explained, they manage to rig up a holodeck around him.
Yes.
And that takes him back to Crystal Lakes.
Then he sees the man.
Then he does see the man. So he has to distract him even more by programming in two teenage girls who are happily smoking, I assume it's pot.
Yeah, yeah.
Happily smoking pot and saying, we love premarital sex.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think the line is, do you want to come and smoke some pot and have premarital sex with us? We love premarital sex.
Correct.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yep. And then it sort of cuts away a bit, some more like bullshit trying to separate the ships.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes back to, I think there's like a line of this saying, uh-oh, he's look like he's about to get a bit less distracted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it cuts back to, somehow Jason's put one girl in a sleeping bag,
yeah.
The other girl's in a sleeping bag, and he's beating a shit with one girl with the other.
The sleeping bag.
Beats one to death with the other, yeah.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Just like, like, really reckless. Then at the end, just like, the sleeping bag, he's already just slams it against a tree. Yeah. Which is my favourite kill. It's just, it's so
savage.
So savage. Yeah. So brutal, like.
Hey, you want a beer?
Or do you want to smoke some pot?
Or we can have premarital sex.
It's I think it's at this point, or just before this point, I think basically in the edit, they've basically gone, fuck it,
mm-hmm.
let's just do it. Let's mm-hmm. throw fucking everything at it, and this is the result.
Yeah. I just want to point out for that like holodeck scene, by the way, I couldn't help but notice I was watching it in glorious high definition. I couldn't find it on a dead format in time that was affordable.
Mm.
And the holodeck shit, you can still see the room he's in, because you can like still see the joining in the walls, but then the lake carries on. So it actually looks like it's an illusion, how the science of it would actually work.
Really?
So you can actually still see the room, which is how he kind of figures out something's wrong. But you can see the projection if it was like a picture in that room.
I must admit, I didn't see anything like that.
It was really nicely done. Really tastefully done, yeah.
Yeah. As tasteful as you can get while beating the shit out of two women using sleeping bags.
Absolutely, yeah. Exactly. But you got to bring it down a peg again, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so the distraction works. And the remaining three characters, well, mm-hmm. two and a bit characters, managed to get themselves onto the safe side of the pod
mm-hmm.
just as the whole fucking lot blows
with
Jason in it. And you think, well, that's Jason done.
Sorted, right?
Sorted. Nailed it. Not quite. Because Jason is blown towards them by an explosion. So you've got the sight of Uber Jason in space, arms.
Yeah,
arms
flailing.
Whoa! Yeah. And then he gets tackled mid-air by Brodsky, Brozif, our mate sacrificing himself. He tackles him in space and drives him...
Into a planet, mate.
Into a planet. Not any planet, mate. Earth 2, the sequel. Yeah. Earth 2, the Earthening.
Is it supposed to be a second Earth, then?
Yes. That's where they moved after the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Suddenly makes sense. Like, I thought Earth was a wasteland. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, it was a really kind of just... They throw about the space concept stuff quite loosely.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're in space now. Oh, yeah, Earth's dead. Oh, there's another one. We're heading towards it.
Well,
that was quick.
When did they mention it? Was it in between the stuff about the hockey? Hockey's banned on, oh yeah, there's another Earth.
It was all
one Earth.
Yeah, it's kind of referenced in comments.
Literally, they set everything up in 10 minutes.
Yeah. If you went for a Wii at the wrong point, then you're not going to know there's an Earth 2. So they crashed down, into Earth 2. Mm-hmm. They were cut to a young couple who were probably engaging in premarital sex.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, look, there's a shooting star. And you can see them sort of coming down in the form of a shooting star as they're sort of in... arm in arm, watching this nice little sort of sunset scene, and the girl says, it landed in the lake. Let's go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to the last shot of the film, which is the molten Uber Jason mask resting on the bottom of a lake. And then we get, for the first time in the film, the original Friday the 13th theme comes in.
Yeah, with the shh.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is the end, mate.
Yeah.
That is the end. So or is kind it? Of-
It did a shitload of damage to its original source material. Absolutely just, you know, threw confetti everywhere and kicked pigeon shit everywhere.
Yeah.
And then just sets it up so that anyone else that comes after it can just make a bog standard Jason film. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
There you go, done.
But, yeah, I mean, premise-wise, you know, if you think about it, all they've really done is change the location.
Yeah.
You know, it's just on a spaceship instead of at Camp Crystal Lake. Mm-hmm. So that's Jason X.
It's fucking mint, man.
It is.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Honestly, one of my top guilty pleasures.
Guilty about it, mate. Heroin's a guilty pleasure.
Mm.
This is just a corking movie, mate.
Yeah, it's bloody good fun. It does what it says on the tin, and it doesn't fuck about in getting you there either. Mm-hmm. That's my stance on Jason X.
Yeah. Shit rating, popcorn rating, then, Rob.
Okay, shit rating, popcorn rating for me. I mean, it's not a shyster, isn't it? It's up there. So were we saying one was good and 10 was dire?
It's actually how shit the film is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
how trash it is.
But it's on a scale of 1 to 10, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
So 1 to 10 doesn't necessarily mean it's
yeah, but 10's a shiter and 1's a nighter.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, so yeah. I'm gonna go 5 on the shit scale.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you can't deny it's shit. You know, you just can't fucking deny it. It is. Popcorn scale. I know we're still fairly early in our podcasting here, but
you get love, mate, go for it.
I'm going out on a limb and I'm gonna say we're not gonna see much more entertaining than that nine buckets.
Wilson.
Ooh, shit rating. It is quite shit, in all fairness. So I'd say 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Popcorn rating, it's a 10.
It's got 10.
It's got to be a 10.
It's got 10.
I'm sorry, but you know, sleeping bags for God's sake.
Yeah,
10.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful.
Dave Walker.
Shiter rating, I think we're approaching a bona fide shiter.
Really?
It is a glorious, steaming, shining, smouldering turd just drifting through space. I'm going to go for an 8.5.
Ooh, high score.
Ooh, half in it now.
Yeah. Popcorn rating, absolute 10.
Absolute 10. Yeah. So it's only me, the picker, that's stopped it from a perfect rating.
The thing is, to be fair, you can go a 10 and a 10 on these ratings, and that's fucking mint for the film. Because it's, for, you know.
I could go home and watch it again now.
I could. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I've got it on here.
You know, I got that DVD when it came out. It probably cost me £7. I've probably watched that DVD about 13 times.
Yeah.
You know.
Getting money's worth.
And I come out entertained every time. And I don't know what more anybody could ask for the 10th installment of a Friday the 13th film to give you. Do you know what I mean? It gives you everything that anyone would ever want to sit through that film for. And what I will say... two quick things I will say. Obviously, as I mentioned earlier, Jim Isaac, the director, sadly passed away a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But certainly, you know, he will always have a place in my filmic heart for this.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you compare it to the Halloween Resurrection movie, which is made and released a couple of months apart from this. So we might revisit that another time. But that, if you stand it next to that, then... You know, this is popcorn gold, mate. It's absolute popcorn
gold. This is leagues ahead in terms of just actual filmmaking, though.
Yeah, across the board.
Yeah, definitely. And they didn't even need to throw a rapper in there.
No, 100%. 100%. Definitely one of the most entertaining films that we're going to come across, and I think that's shown in the popcorn ratings there.
Absolutely,
I guess I'll wrap it up there. Yeah. Jason X, fucking good fun. Absolutely astounding.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, you're next in the chair. Hit us with what you're going to follow that with.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Okay, it is Mary Shelley's Frankenstein from, I believe it's 1994. As late as... Is it 94 or
95? It is 94.
94. Yeah.
Is this a De Niro one we're talking here?
We are talking that one, yes. Shamefully late in the lifespan of filmmaking.
I don't think De Niro's a problem.
Oh, we'll find out, won't we? Well, thanks for that, Dave.
That's all right.
And I guess all that's left to say at this stage is thank you for listening, Wilson's mum and my mate Chris Chambers.
Yeah, Chris Chambers.
And we'll see you all again next time for Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
Bye!
Don't forget, you can follow us and keep up with all our updates at Cinemawatchery on Twitter, / Cinemawatchery on Facebook, and of course, at Cinemawatchery on Instagram. I don't know how you do pictures of podcasts, but we're going to do that anyway.